Many entrepreneurs and business executives are deathly afraid of the sales process. I heard the saying once that 90% of selling is conviction and 10% is persuasion. So to help you put aside your fears, if you have them, and bulk up on conviction, I asked Jeffrey James to stop by for a discussion on sales. Jeffrey is the author of 9 books, including his latest, Business Without the Bull Stuff. He has a daily blog about sales, marketing, and success, and has appeared on BNET, CBSi, and currently can be found on Inc.com. And now he's bringing the ideas and insights behind this award-winning blog directly to us here so that we can build our sales prowess and thus our success. Jeffrey, welcome to success. Let's have a no BS conversation today. How about it?
Sounds good to me, and thank you for having me.
So, Jeffrey, I want to start our conversation off with stating the obvious, and that is selling is crucial to business. So maybe what I'd love to have you do is to sell our audience, because a lot of these people are fantastic entrepreneurs, but really, if they want to expand their business, they need to sharpen their sales skills. So can you please take a moment and sell our audience on why selling, even today, maybe most especially today, is so crucial to business enterprise growth building?
The biggest problem that entrepreneurs have when trying to sell is that they convince themselves that they hate selling, even though whenever they talk to investors, whenever they recruit people, whenever they talk to potential customers, whenever they talk to just about anyone, they're selling. What happens is that they let the word selling get in the way of what they already do really well, which is talking about how passionate they are about their company and their products and how interested they are in their customers. I define selling as the process of making other people happy, because what happens when a sale takes place is that someone gets something they value more than something they're giving away. That's always what happens in selling. And so you're really, when you're selling, you're making people happier, you're making them more successful, you're making their businesses more successful, and you're adding value to everybody. So it's nothing that you should feel bad about. Don't let the word selling get in the way of doing it.
Yeah, I always said, you know, even mom is selling. Maybe mom's selling more than anybody. You either sell your principles and values to your children, or the drug dealer on the street corner will sell them theirs. And so we're always selling all the time. And I'm selling the audience right now on the fact that selling is important. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of actual selling. Start by sharing a few of the rules of sales with us. What guidelines do we have to follow to be successful in our sales efforts?
The first rule of selling is it's not about you. I have been amazed as I look at people's sales messages and elevator pitches and marketing materials, how obsessed they seem to be with the seller as opposed to the buyer or potential buyer. It's not unusual to see a sales email that starts with, I would like to sell you something, and or then it goes, my company and then my products. And there's this feeling that you're trying to push something, that you're trying to convince the other person that, about who you are and what you're about. When in fact, all customers and potential customers really care about is, what does it mean to me? So you have to go into every sales and marketing engagement realizing that it's not about you, it's not about your firm, it's not about your products, it's about how your customer perceives the value of what it is that you're selling.
I thought you were going to say the first rule of selling is don't talk about selling, but we have to talk about selling. That's what we're here to do. All right, so let's talk about the rules we need to forget. Tell us the rules that are considered essential that we need to essentially forget and not practice as it has been maybe in the 20th century or in our own sales efforts in the past.
The most popular bad advice about selling is ABC, always be closing. People have a tendency to treat that as if that's a good idea without realizing that it comes from a satirical speech given by Alec Baldwin in the movie Glengarry Glen Ross. The Alec Baldwin character is established as a jerk, and his sales methodology is the kind of methodology that a jerk would use. This kind of push idea of selling, the idea that you have to manipulate, maneuver, persuade, convince, this whole idea of selling, which is encapsulated in the always be closing motto, is exactly what turns off customers. It's exactly what your customer doesn't want you to do. It's quite ironic because even salespeople who attempt to hard sell their customers don't like being hard sold themselves. Nobody does. No one wants to be pushed to buy. And so any sales advice that's based upon that concept, that you're trying to control the buying behavior, is automatically counterproductive to actually making the sale.
Hmm. But you have to love that line, put the coffee down. Coffee's for closers. I don't know how many times my father, who was a real estate broker, recited the Alec Baldwin lines, like the whole speech. I must have heard it 400 times in my growing up years. Anyway, it's classic, right?
It's absolutely classic, but it actually brings up a rather large problem for entrepreneurs who are interested in increasing their sales skills. Popular culture has an amazingly negative view of selling. If you look at all the movies and television shows where a salesperson appears, there are only two stereotypes, and these two stereotypes are used repeatedly. One is, like the Alec Baldwin character, the jerk who can manipulate people into buying, and the other one is the sad sack loser who can't. And these tropes get brought up over and over and over. And so when people who aren't familiar with sales try to sell, they think they either have to be a jerk or a loser if they're going to sell. So they have this emotional attachment to not sell. I recently was talking to an entrepreneur, and he was at the point where he needed to build out his sales force or just hire some salespeople. And he was coming from it from an inner belief that, quote unquote, salespeople are slimy. And he had completely absorbed this pop culture idea of the salesperson without realizing that salespeople are really they're why business happens, and that everyone is selling and salespeople are just particularly good at it. But trying to pigeonhole them in those pop culture images is a very common and a very dangerous error for entrepreneurs to make.
Yeah, I mean, the front desk person is selling, mom is selling, you're selling everybody and where you want to go to lunch and or what great movie you just saw that they have to go see or what have you. So yeah, you're right. It's just the salespeople that hold the name badge with salesperson on it. But and you're right also that popular culture has demonized them of sorts. But really, particularly in today's day and age where we are socially transparent all the time, we are constantly, abundantly, and continually in the sales process. So let's go back to sales messaging. The kind of sales messages we're sending out to our potential customers. Tell us exactly how you would define a sales message and why it's crucial to the overall sales process. I know you write about this, so I want you to speak to it a bit.
For the past 3 years, I've been rewriting sales messages for a variety of companies, mostly smaller entrepreneurial ones, but sometimes quite large companies. And my experience is that the most common way of approaching a sales message is to list out a set of features and functions and maybe some customers and try to provide as many possible things that the customer might be interested in. It's sort of like you just sort of throw as many darts on the wall as you can, and you kind of hope that one hits. And then when they get to the call to action, they'll cram in everything possible. They'll say, call me at, here's my email address, here's our website, here's for more information. And so it's like this entire load that they dump onto the potential customer, and then they wonder why they're not getting any response. Selling is about having a conversation. And so the ideal sales message consists of three parts. First is the benefit, second is the differentiator, and third is the call to action. And these have to be very short because you only have a very limited amount of time for the customer to decide whether you're worth listening to. The benefit is one sentence that describes what buying your product would mean to the customer. It's not about your product features. It's not about you, about your company, about any of that. It's about the benefit to the customer. That sells the customer on the concept of what you're selling. Then you must have a differentiator, which is why they should buy this kind of product or service from you. And finally is the ask, which is when you ask the potential customer for typically for a meeting or to do something. So it's sales messages are actually very simple. There are three elements. Unfortunately, you have this tendency in marketing and sales groups to try to cram as much information as possible into a sales message. And it's really just dumping a load of information that the customer has no context or understanding why they would even care. And then when the customer doesn't get back, they send more of that. It's really a matter of being concise and crisp and crystallizing what it is you're offering, what it means, and why it's you to buy, why you want to buy from you, that, and then what they need to do next. Very simple.
Okay, so let's get on the other side of the sales process, and let's look at from the vantage point of the customer, right? You know, the old adage, if you want to sell what John buys, see the world through John's eyes. So let's get into the mind and perspective of the customer. I know you wrote an article called 10 Things Every Customer Wants. I'm going to pick out one here that I like that I think would be unexpected in as well as is an important part of your 10 things. One is help the customer avoid potential pitfalls. Tell us what you mean by that and how we go about it.
There's an important stage in the sales process where you need to eliminate risk. And identifying the possible risks of what they're buying and what might happen is important, because unless you exteriorize or crystallize those risks, you can't address them. And so you have to look at what, you know, you don't want to pretend that everything's going to be perfect when they buy what you have, or that there might not be potential problems with it. What you have to do is surface those problems and explain how you would handle them if they came up. For example, if a small company is selling to a larger company that's deployed globally, and that large company says, well, we're going to be opening an office in Singapore. Do you have anybody who can handle it in Singapore? Now, the smaller company should have been aware ahead of time that that was a pitfall in their sales process. It's a pitfall in how they were able to help that customer. So what the salesperson needs to do is have an answer to that and an understanding on how to remove that risk or remove that problem. And so you would, before you get to that situation, you'd already establish a way to provide your service remotely or a partnership with someone in different areas where your customer might expand. You have to anticipate the problems that the customer might have and already be ready with a way to avoid the risk connected with that.
Okay, I like that. All right. So, you know, I know you've interviewed thousands of successful executives and entrepreneurs. So share a few examples of companies or entrepreneurs who, in your mind, demonstrate top-notch sales practices and perhaps highlight a few things that we can learn from them as a result.
One of the biggest challenges that companies have is that many times what they're selling becomes available on the web, and that people can order them directly. A while back, I was talking to a VP of sales at Rubbermaid. Actually, it was the Sharpie division. And where most companies that sell pens have concentrated on reducing their costs and eliminating their salespeople, and they're involved in a price war on who can provide the cheapest product, Sharpie took a different approach. They trained their salespeople to go into a retail shop and be experts in how to organize the shelf space in the office supply section so that the customer, in this case, the retail shop, makes more money. So what they did is they created more value and therefore are able to sell and have a premium product be placed positively and easy to sell because they are securing that shelf space as part of an overall plan to make the customer more successful. And that's a perfect example of selling to the customer's customer. Essentially, the Sharpie salesperson becomes a marketing and retail expert that the retail seller can depend upon to help make him or her more successful. Another example is actually from a company that's in the news right now, which is Virgin Galactic. I had the opportunity to interview their top salesperson back when it was, they'd had about this point about 200 people had signed up. And if you recall, the flights on a Virgin Galactic are about $250,000. And so he was able to get a large number of people to commit a sizable amount of money to a product that didn't exist. This is selling the dream to the max. So I asked him how he did that. And the key to it for him was creating a community that people got more excited by being around each other and by talking about and thinking about how they are all going to become astronauts. It was like joining this elite club of people who were achieving this dream that they'd held all their life. And the people who were buying weren't just multimillionaires or billionaires. Many people who were buying that were what we would probably characterize as upper middle class. And this was a perfect example of how by selling a dream and by treating people as people and by understanding the their motivations, you can, people will buy just about anything, even things that seem fantastical at the time.
That's a great example. Well, Jeffrey, before we let you head back out to gather more great sales information to share with the world, I want to circle back to your definition of sales as our parting thought. If selling is the process of making dreams come true, leave us with a simple piece of advice that will jumpstart our dream-making efforts. If we could put one thing on a sticky or a mantra or something to get up and think about every morning, or one best practice that we can use every single day to increase our sales efforts, what would be that one sterling piece of advice you'd leave us with?
Have the courage to live up to your potential. In business and in life, the key element is courage. If you don't have courage, you won't take risks, you won't achieve what you want to achieve. And so without courage, all is lost.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, I'm sold. Thank you for stopping by and closing us on seeking out our greater potential and illuminating the process of becoming better at our sales efforts. Thank you so much for being with us today, Jeffrey.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.